Hallelujah.
God is good. Praise God. What, everybody going to kids' church or what?
We're in kids' church in a wrong room. This is the kiddies' church. Oh, wow. See, that's what they're learning in the kids' church today. And you want to tell them? Here, hold on a second.
In children's church today, the kids are all making their hands, and then they're putting all their hands together and forming one project with all of their hands, and we were focusing on the we are the branches, and putting the branches together. They're making a Christmas tree, but they're learning about working together by building their hands into one big
unity.
Project. The unity with their hands. They have, as they answer questions about what the holy and unholy things are, you do with their hands, they earn their ornaments in order to decorate their hands.
Praise God. Maybe we ought to be in there.
So when you talked about the many hands.
Thank you. Hallelujah. You know, the word says that when you come together, come with a word, come with an interpretation. Come, be prepared for something. Cause I'm telling you, there's a new season and a change, and the Spirit's beginning to open arenas of revelations more. And when doors open, one of the things we want to do is walk through them. We don't want to stay on this side. We want to walk through it. Amen. So be prepared. Come, make sure that you're prayed up, filled up, and be ready in season. When we got here today, there was oppression big time. There was a heaviness in here. And I don't know whether it was lack of prayer. I don't know if people prayed before we got here. I don't know what. But I did not see enough prayer here this morning. And it was nasty. So y'all need to be praying for the service before you come. Just don't depend on the people that are setting up to pray. Amen? We need to be praying for the service. Binding, blinding, mute, deafing, powers of darkness. Moving them back, applying the blood of Jesus on everything here. Why? So we make a habitation for the presence of God. And we're going to see more signs, wonders, and other things begin to manifest. But we must, it's our responsibility to create a habitation for the presence of God. Amen? And Hosea 4:6. Anybody know that scripture? Knowing it and doing it is two different things, isn't it? Remember, Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception, and his power is fear. Hosea 4:6. Welcome to Sunday morning training. We're not religious. This is a training session for the military operation. We're an eternal army in a physical realm. Amen. Hosea 4:6. Is everybody there? Let's speak this together. My people, my children, my people, the children that I love, that I created, he says. My people. They are what? They're what? Destroyed. For lack of knowledge. Now, he's not talking about physical knowledge. He's talking about spiritual knowledge. Making what is unseen to become seen. Knowing your influences. Discerning things. Knowing God's time. All of these areas are associated with the knowledge of God. Knowing Jesus, his character, his attributes, ethics, and integrity. These are the things that he's saying my children are destroyed for, not knowing these things, not desiring these things. And he says, and because you've rejected my knowledge, my character, my attributes, and you still want to live your way, I will reject you for being priest for me or allowing you to come close to me. Now, one of the things we do not want is a long-distance relationship with the Lord. So it's going to take cooperation and have a close relationship with the Lord. Amen? And he says, because you have forgotten the law of your God, and because you've rejected all of these things, I will reject your children. In other words, that curse will come down the family line. Because of what you're doing will affect your children. What we're doing right now will affect our children. And none of us want our children to be forgotten. And there are things that we've done that have already affected our children. And it's too late now. Now they've got to go through the trials and everything else until they come to the arena of repentance and break off the curses themselves. Destroyed for lack of knowledge, lack of ways of the kingdom. In John 10, in verse 1, John 10, verse 1, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, in other words, anyone who's not, you cannot enter the sheepfold according to your will and your way. There's only one door to enter, and there's only one way for things to be established according to Christ and his will in our life. See, in other words, we can't do what we want to do. We got to do what he wants us to do. He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his what? Hear his voice. Hear his voice. They know his character. They know his will. They know his attributes. They know his integrity. They know his ethic beliefs. They know exactly what God desires. You know, every one of us is born with that. But it's dead until you are born again, then it's awakened. It's dormant. And when you are born again by the Spirit, it gets awakened. And all of a sudden, there's a desire. Whoa! Everything changes. Because now, you want to please God. If you're in a state that you don't want to please God, you're not His. You're not His. If the Lord isn't always before you in everything that you do and every decision you make, you're not in divine order. Amen? So in this, he says, the sheep know his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Remember, the Spirit always leads us. The devil always pushes us. And he brings them out, his own sheep. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Listen, knowing God's voice is knowing God's will, his character. So many people are just looking for a voice when sometimes it's his character that's speaking, not his voice. Does everybody get it? Somebody may be praying for something and they're asking for something. Oh, Lord, please provide this. You know, there are people that are asking for things when God is saying, get a job. In other words, there are people that are asking for things when the Lord is saying, sow this. So you can reap this. Does everybody understand? Why? There are attributes. There are ways of God's character that's saying he's always trying to get something to us. But there are things that are interfering, the influences of darkness that are always trying to get things away, get us off course. People getting wrong jobs, marrying the wrong people, purchasing the wrong things, purchasing things out of time. You know, the enemy loves to get his children and God's children into debt. Why? Because if he can get them into debt, they're always working to get out of debt and never can serve God. Is everybody all right? So the sheepfold, the door, the kingdom, kingdom principles, ethics, and character. What God is trying to do is birth us to a higher level of integrity in everything that we do. See, why? Because he's not going to continue to release favor in someone he doesn't trust. Amen? You're not going to give your keys to someone that's never driven before to your car. You'd have to be a real idiot. In Ephesians chapter 4, you know, our fight is in the unseen realm, but one of the things that affects our fight is physical decisions. Does everybody get it? Your physical decisions affect your spiritual fight. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 25. Let's read it together. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. How do we give place to the devil? Making decisions in the physical realm that are not lining up with the will of God. It makes place for the enemy. It gives access to him. Why? Because the Bible says that the devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So we do not want to give him access. Now, something very important. You know, in this he says, in verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Let me share something with you. Your physical decisions will not only make place to the devil, but they will also grieve the Holy Spirit where he steps back. Grieving the Holy Spirit says he steps back. And he says, go for it. And he waits. Does everybody get it? And he waits. And he lets you run the course. He lets us go all the way. He doesn't do anything until something occurs. Repentance and cooperation. See, even when we repent, he steps up. Now what's required is cooperation, or he steps back. Is everybody all right? See, you may repent, but still choose not to cooperate. Then he steps back. And he says, go ahead again. And we do it all over. We fall in that vicious cycle. Don't give place to the devil. Why? Because it will grieve the Holy Spirit. And how do we grieve him? By our decisions in the physical realm. What you do in the physical realm is affecting you spiritually. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now let me share with you something here. One of the things that occurs here when we give place to the devil, okay, and when we grieve the Holy Spirit, a storm comes. Always comes. You're walking into a storm. And it's a self-inflicted storm. There's a storm that God sends you in, and there's a storm that the devil brings you in. These are called storms of destiny. Is everybody with me? Storms of destiny. Everyone say storms of destiny. That's the name of today's title. Storms of destiny. Now, we don't want any self-inflicted storm or self-inflicted trials. Amen? We want the ones that God has for us, because it's training for reigning. The other one is trying to outrun your reaping. Why? In Galatians 6, let's go there. We ought to know this by heart. Galatians 6, 7. What does it say? Do not be what? Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, he will also reap. It's amazing that in the natural carnal realm, people don't even think about that, do they? They think that if they can just get away with it, it's okay. That they're never going to reap. But everyone reaps what they sow. In the kingdom and out of the kingdom. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. So we must constantly reap in the Spirit. I mean, sow in the Spirit. Amen? We talk about this all the time. Sowing in the Spirit. Sowing in the Spirit. Even when we sow in the flesh, we still reap. Even if you repent, you're still going to reap. But the quicker you repent, the less you reap. Amen? In James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 2. everybody there? My brethren, count it all what? Joy. When you fall in the various trials. Now let me share something with you. Are these various trials that he's talking about of God or the devil? They're of God. These are testing trials. Does everybody get it? These are storms of destiny. He says, count it all joy, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete what? Lacking nothing. So that you lack nothing. See, there's a place where you and I should lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want or lack. We should lack nothing. The only reason why we lack is because of what we sowed. Now let me share something with you. Disobedience is sowing in the flesh. When God says you do this, and you say, that's all right. You just sowed in the flesh. Not abiding sows in the flesh. The three abides, abide in prayer, worship and praise and assembling. People wonder why they got to work their butt off to try to keep things going. Because of a lack of abiding. They are disobedient and sowing in the flesh. There's three things that the enemy loves to implement in us. Compromise, complacency, and laziness. Those three things always bring you to you. So everybody get it? See, what the enemy always wants to do is bring you to you so that you compromise, so that you become complacent, and then you become lazy in the things of the Spirit. But man, let me tell you, when it's a paycheck time, there's no compromise or complacency or laziness. Overtime, yes! Time and a half, I love it! Sunday service, I'm too tired. You just sowed in the flesh. Does everybody get this? Hallelujah. Count it all joy. Now he says this, he says, now if you lack wisdom, hello, why? Wisdom from above tells you what to do. Wisdom from beneath deceives you. Wisdom from beneath will promote compromise, complacency, and laziness. Because it's carnal wisdom. You mean, did you ever get around to real intellects? They're so intellectual, they're stupid. One and one is one, and that's it. Don't put no minus in there, they're messed up. Everything is just... They can't come out of the box. Because the box is coordinated by all technical things. It's bound by squares and roots. Don't come out of the box. We'll all blow up. God says, melt that box. Come out of your own intellect. Hello? Various trials. These are storms of destiny to test. These are tests from the divine purpose. Does everybody get it? Tests from God, a divine purpose. His testing to me and you is for His divine purpose. But there's a test from the devil that comes as a self-purpose. Does everybody get it? He wants to bring us through trials. God wants to bring us through divine trials. The enemy wants to bring us through selfish trials. In Jeremiah 7, storms of destiny. Your storms will dictate your destiny. How you handle these storms. Jeremiah 7. In verse 5, would you all read it with me, please? Jeremiah 7, verse 5. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, or walk after other gods to your hurt. How many of y'all know your spouse could be your God? How many of you know your job can be your God? The word God here means idols. Then I will cause you. So in other words, he's saying, get rid of the idols. Then I will cause you to dwell in this place and the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. In other words, there's a place of dwelling of prosperity. There's a place of dwelling. And so many times the enemy will put idols in our life. You know, you talk to young kids and their main course is trying to be somebody that's somebody in the sports or whatever. You know what I'm saying? That's their idols. The problem is that some of these idols, even in the sports industry, are heathen. And some of them are good examples, you know? But the whole thing is making Christ's character as the idol that we want. Anything in between is an idol that causes us to stumble. Sometimes our children can be an idol. I'll do everything for my kids. Well, you better do everything for the Lord first. Why? Because if you're in divine position, everything else is taken care of. It's when we get out of divine position that everything crumbles. Why? Because then we try to fix it and just mess it up. And then the ungodly position takes over. We make room for the devil. Amen. We grieve the Holy Spirit, and we're back under the storms of the enemy. And it's changing the course of our destiny until we finally come, usually rock bottom, hit a wall, everything's array, and we go, oh, God, I think I'm out of order. Hello? Help me. Help me. Okay, I'm going to send you to a place and learn. Can't you just help me my way? Can I take a pill and it's all over with? No. You don't get fixed by pills. You get fixed by cooperation. Hello? Cooperation. Listen, the car doesn't get washed unless it goes through a car wash. And you know what? Somebody's got to drive it in there. Cooperation. In Jeremiah 5. Is everybody there? I mean, Jeremiah 7. In verse 8. Behold, you trust in what? Lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, walk after other gods whom you do not know? You know, people walk after other gods, they don't even know it. Those idols are their gods now. They are men-pleasers instead of God-pleasers. And then come, now listen, he said, you're going to do all of these things, and then you're going to come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. In other words, it's okay, I'm under grace. No. Grace is God's will, which takes cooperation, doesn't it? Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I have seen it, says the Lord. But go now to my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at first, and see what I did to it because of the wickedness of my people. Let me share with you. It's his people. He's still talking about his people whom he loves. He's saying you are practicing wickedness with idols in your life. That is wickedness. You are still sowing in the flesh and you'll still reap corruption and you'll stay in that storm that's associated with your destiny. That's why things are not working. They're not working. And people try to work this and work that and do this and do that, and it's still not working because we're still not in divine order yet. He says, we believe lies. And he says, now because you've done all these things, says the Lord, and I spoke to you rising up early and speaking to you, but you did not hear. And I called you, but you did not answer. Therefore, I will do to the house which is called by my name, in which you trust, and to this place which I gave to you and your fathers, as I have done in Shiloh. Listen, you can always expect in these storms. Look, I'd rather be in the storm of the Lord instead of the storm of the devil. The storm of the devil wants you to kill you in that area, in that storm. He wants to steal from you, kill you, and destroy you if you give him opportunity. Amen? What happens is we go out of divine order. When we're out of this divine order, there is no prosperity, there is no increase, there's no advancement. No matter what you do, you are limited. There's a block, there's a set of limitations. You can only go so far until something happens. Until you cooperate, you repent, and you get back into divine order. One of the things that we need to do is, as we ask for the wisdom from above, one of the things the Lord will say, repent for your wrong decisions. Repent. Forgive me, Lord, for making wrong decisions. Your storms will form your destiny. They'll either form it according to the will of man or the will of God. in Romans 8. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says something about being content in all things. Okay, so there's an area where we're content, but we're not content. One of the things you never want to fall into is lukewarmness. Being lukewarm. Never be content. We're content in what's going on, but we're never content. We're always wanting more of God. Lord, I want more of you. I want to know you more. Why? Because when we come into that arena, we become complacent again. We become comfortable in that area, and it's a false comfort. Lukewarm is a false comfort. And that's where people are easily swayed. They're swayed by how they feel. Well, I'm all right now. I don't do this. I don't see they still live from their past. They're looking at what they don't do anymore. That's a dangerous place to be. Never look at what you don't do anymore. You better look at what you're doing now. Romans 8, verse 27. Would you read it with me? Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, loving God means you obey him. He says, if you'll love me, you what? You'll obey me. So there are people that say, I love you, but still will choose their own will. They don't love him then. Love is associated with obedience. See, people are looking for a feeling of love. Love is a choice, not a feeling. We choose to love, not because of how we feel, because it pleases God. I hear all of this love affair. Oh, it was love at first sight. No, it wasn't. It was lust at first sight. Because love's something that grows. Because you choose to love. You can choose to stop loving anytime you want. Lust is a hard thing to stop. Hello? Why? Because it's bondage. I get calls from people. Oh, such and such broke up with me. I'm going to kill myself. Are you stupid or what? You're going to kill yourself over somebody? That's not love. That's lust. Does everybody get it? That's lust. If you can't let somebody go, that's lust. Hallelujah. In verse 8, and we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be what? Now here it is. To be what? Conformed to the what? Image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So you and I were born again, and the purpose of all of these storms of destiny is to conform us to his son. In what? Character, integrity, ethics, moral standards, things of the spirit. To be more like his son. In other words, we go through the storms so that there can exchange can be made. Amen? Listen, when the burdens come heavy on you, so many times we have a tendency to try to fix them instead of exchange them. Lord, I give you this. Doesn't he say, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you? Amen. We try to fix everything. That's our human nature. That's our human nature. But we have a divine nature that is totally opposite than the human nature. And we must allow that divine nature to have dominion. So in this divine nature, which is fighting all the time, that's why the Bible says we groan. Why? To be more clothed with the divine nature, with our habitation from home. That's a divine nature. That's the character of Christ. We groan within us. You know, we get angry with ourselves more than we do anything else. And when somebody gets mad, most of the time they're mad at themselves, not somebody else. Because you know why? Because we know better. Because the divine nature is saying, come on, will you let me take over? But the human nature is saying, I got it now. I can do this. See, there's a lot of I's in the human nature. I. I'll be sitting talking to someone and I hear 14 I's. You're trying to tell me this is God's will. Really? God doesn't have 14 I's. In fact, he only has two. Actually, it says he has many, but He says, I am. That was it, as far as I knew. Hallelujah. So we're to be conforming into the image of his son. Everything will work to the good. But again, if you're willing to cooperate. So we're either going to cooperate in the storm of God, or we're going to cooperate in the storm of the enemy. One or the other. See, we're either going in the storm, in it, or coming out. That's the cycle. You're going in, you're in it, or you're coming out. And when you're coming out, you're going back in. Why? Because that's how Christ is being formed in me and you. You cannot escape the storm of destiny. Nobody does. 2 Peter chapter 1. So the purpose of the storms of destiny is to establish the integrity and the divine nature of Christ in us. Amen? 2 Peter chapter 1. In verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his what? Divine power is given to us what? All things. His divine power is given to us all things. All things. Why? So we don't lack. So God has given us a divine power so that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, according to his will, with wisdom, knowledge, understanding. And doing these things in the divine power, because this divine power is what is empowering the divine nature in me and you. So that Christ can express himself, so that we don't react, we respond. So that we don't sow to the flesh, we sow to the spirit. Hallelujah. All right. As his divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and what? Godliness. Come on, read it with me. To the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Verse 4. By which have been given to us exceedingly and great and precious promises, that through these you may be what? Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Why? Lust brings bondage. Lust will also bring fear. We want to be partakers of the divine nature, which allows us to escape. In other words, there's a place that we won't stumble. Watch this. But also, verse 5, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never what? You won't stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus came to bring us life and life abundantly here on earth. You don't have to wait to die to have an abundant life. The first abundant life starts in the spirit realm, where his riches of wisdom and knowledge and understanding in his presence. And we won't never stumble. We will never lack. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles 21. In verse 1, would you read it with me? 1 Chronicles 21:1. It says, now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. Now the Lord told David, don't number the people. Okay? But Satan influenced David to number the people and disobey God. And when David did this, he sent out his... And even his right-hand man knew that the Lord told David not to do this. Do not number the people. And David sent out his right-hand man and numbered the people. And so, and Joab, in verse 3, he said, may the Lord make his people 100 times more than they are. But my Lord the king, are they not all my Lord's servants. Why then does my Lord require this thing? Why should he be a cause of guilt in Israel? This was David's right-hand man telling him. This was God, David's right-hand man telling King David, you're not, this ain't right. Why should you be the cause of the guilt of Israel? Well, David still did it. In verse 10, or verse 9, and the Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer, saying, and go tell David, saying, thus says the Lord, I offer you three things. Choose one of them for yourself, that I may do it to you. So Gad came to David and said to him, thus says the Lord, choose for yourself either 3 years of famine, 3 months to be defeated by your foes with the sword of your enemies overtaking you, or else 3 days in the sword of the Lord, the plague in the land, with the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the territory of Israel. I'd say he was reaping. So David chose to take the plague. In verse 13, and David said to Gad, I am in great distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, very great. Do not let me fall into the hand of man or the devil. So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell. And God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. As he was destroying, the Lord looked and relented of the disaster and said to the angel who was destroying it, it is enough now, restrain your hand. All because David decided to number the people. Does everybody see that? That was a influence of Satan, wasn't it? Brought him into a storm. In Zechariah chapter 3, first of all, because of David's pride got him into this. See, pride always goes before a fall. Just because we own a company, just because we are a pastor, just because we have authority in a position of any area, pride should never be involved in that position. There must always be a humble spirit. One of the things the enemy always tries to attack us is in pride. In any area, in any authority, it's always pride. In everyday life, pride. You know, once you get enough knowledge, the enemy comes with pride. Why? Because he always tries to interrupt what God is doing. He wants to bring that storm to change your destiny. Because while we are humble and willing to do whatever it takes, pride comes and says, I got it now. And we just stepped into another storm of changing our destiny. What was going great, what was happening, God was blessing. Now God removes his hand. In Zechariah chapter 3, is everybody there? In verse 1. Would you read it? Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to what? To oppose him. I want you to understand that Satan is going to oppose you. Listen, just because you choose to do the will of God doesn't mean you won't have resistance. The enemy will try to influence you every and any way that he can. The number one thing that we need to do is recognize it. You know, if we start recognizing that the enemy's gonna, listen, how many of y'all know that the devil wants to bless you? You mean the devil can bless me? Yes. Listen, don't people go to psychics and all kinds of stuff? And certain good things will happen in the beginning? But then the end result is disastrous? People read their horoscopes thinking that's good? Those are all lying words. It's amazing. You want your future? It's right here. That's where your future is. It's not in tarot cards. It's not in horoscopes. It's not in, what do you call those little things? Eight balls? I don't know. Fortune cookies? Fortune cookies. Man, it is deceptive. You know how many people go to a Chinese place or whatever, eat their cookie, and then open it and read it? You just brought a curse on yourself. Well, I didn't mean it. You didn't mean to run that stop sign either. It was behind a tree. Couldn't see it. The officer still gave you a ticket. Satan will oppose in everything. But if you are in divine order, the angel will protect you. Amen? There are storms that are led by God, and there are storms that are misled by the devil. Again, compromise, complacency, and laziness of spiritual things will always lead to a storm. And it will change your destiny. In Mark 4. Now let's go to Matthew 3. Is everybody okay? Matthew chapter 3. Storms of destiny. Now, didn't Jesus have a great destiny? Amen? He was the example for me and you, wasn't he? Well, in Matthew 3 and verse 17, it says, suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Next thing you know, I am well pleased with my Son. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Hello? Does everybody get this? This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. All right, Holy Spirit, lead him in to go get tested. He just said he was well pleased with him. Let me tell you, when you do something that pleases God, you can expect to be led into the storm again. See, it ain't over. Yeah, thanks, Lord, we got that one. Oh, already? Yeah. This is my Son. This is my daughter. I'm well pleased. Holy Spirit, lead him into another one. Why? Because I don't want to let my character go. Does everybody get that? And then, look at this. I love it. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights after he was hungry, now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones be bread, become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So he attacked the enemy. In other words, he overcame. Hello, this is my daughter, my son, that I'm well pleased. Right into the wilderness. Let's go test number 444. Why? He wants to exchange your human nature for divine nature through the divine power of Christ Jesus so that he can express himself through me and you without fear, without worry, without complacency, compromise, laziness, but complete trust and obedience. Now we're a witness. Hebrews 11. Listen. These storms are preparing not only your destiny, but your call. You know how many people run from the storm? They run from God's storm into the devil's storm. Because you never escape the storm. And they think that the devil's storm, because it always looks greener on the other side, you know. So they run from God's storm into the devil's storm, and man, things just get worse. In Hebrews 11, how many of y'all know Noah had a storm? Does anybody know Noah had a storm? Man, it rained 40 days and 40 nights, didn't it? What a storm. Is everybody awake? Noah had a storm, man. He had to contend with everybody mocking him, didn't he? Oh, man, what are you going to do with that sailboat? What are you, crazy? Rain. It has never rained here on the earth. What is rain? The only thing they knew was mist. They didn't even know what a boat was. And the Lord told Moses to build a cubit. He said, what's that? I mean, Noah. Moses wasn't yet. Noah had a storm, didn't he? But was his call powerful? How about Moses? Did he have a storm? Oh my gosh, did he have a storm. Then he came back to lead the people out of bondage, didn't he? Everybody, Jesus had the storm. Listen, your storms dictate your destiny and how you cooperate with them. Every one of us here has had a storm. We're either in it, coming out of it, or going in it. Hallelujah. Abraham had a storm. Didn't he have to sacrifice his son? But he believed in God's promise, because if he killed his son and the Lord told him, look it, this, he's the promised seed. Okay, if he's the promised seed, that means God would have to raise him from the dead. If Abraham killed him. But he had a storm. Sarah had a storm. Does everybody get it? Everybody has a storm. Nobody goes without storms. The whole thing is to form Christ's character. You're either going to cooperate or you're going to run. And when you run from God's storm, you run into the devil's storm. I guess I don't have to go through all this. How about Joseph? Oh my God. Joseph had a storm. Wasn't he sold by his own brothers? Was he put into slavery? Was God with him? Did he grumble and complain? And look what happened. The Lord actually hid him in darkness, granted him favor, and when his time brought him up, to rescue his people. Do you know that every one of us here has an appointed time to rescue people out of the matrix? Everyone. I don't care where you are, what you're doing. Every one of us. There's a specific time when a door will open. And if you're not there, people will be lost. Why? These storms of destiny are to fulfill the purpose of God's will in the natural realm. Revelation 3. How many people compromise tithing? They compromise service. They compromise volunteer. They compromise. Oh, they're too busy with their own life. Revelation 3. Revelation chapter 3. In verse 4, 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Again, lukewarm is a dangerous place to be. Amen? Very, very dangerous. Because you say, I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich in white garments, and that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. That you may see what? That you may recognize. See, we're to recognize those things that are being misled by the enemy. That's why he says, my children will not follow the voice of a stranger. But it's amazing how many times the children of God follow the voice of a stranger. Again, it's lack of abiding. I'm going to tell you that right now. Lack of abiding. You'll be so busy doing nothing. People are so busy doing nothing. In Psalm 15. See, the world always comes up to you and says, hey, man, how you doing? You know what the other person answers? I'm busy. You busy? Yeah, I'm busy. You busy? You busy? Everybody's busy. They're so busy, they're dizzy. Psalm 15. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be what? Moved. And we want to get in a place where we're never moved. Amen? Never moved. No matter what the circumstances are. No matter what the storms are. We want to fall into the storms that are led by God so his character can be expressed. Amen? These are storms of destiny. You know, so many times, people do time. They're like in jail. They're doing time. They're always doing time. Well, when this time comes and then this, and this, everything associated with them is time. See, truly walking in the Spirit has nothing to do with time. You know, we live a life of memory. A life of memory is associated with time. But in the Spirit realm, there's no life of memory. It's a life of consistency. Everything is consistent. There is no past. Everything is future. And we've got to begin to learn to live in that arena, even though we live in this place. We utilize memory to the advantage of living in the future, not the past. We've got to come out of that state. That's why he says, count it all joy as you go through trials and tribulations. He says, go through. Amen? And in this, I counted all loss of things of my past for what? The excellence of knowing Christ. That's future. So your trials, your storms of destiny is to sever your past. Because
Because, see, we have a tendency to want to react according to the way we used to live. And the enemy always breaks. Look, you're going to see things that occur to you as you're walking in this time realm that we live in future, that are associated to things of your past. But we're not to react according to the things of our past because it's the same circumstance. We're to respond from the future now according to those circumstances. Why? Because that's the expression of Christ. You know, I had an individual that called me and was saying all kinds of things to me on the phone. And my last words to him was, "I forgive you and I bless you." And of course, his response was, "I don't need your blessing." So I hung up. Of course, he couldn't shut up. He kept texting me. Then I had to tell him the truth in a responding text. So anyways, but in that, listen, Christ's character is being formed. Forgive. Amen. Bless. Forgive your enemies. Bless them. Don't look back. Go forward. Then, you know, once you lose focus, you can walk into a pole. You know what I'm saying? You can hit a car. You know, be drunk. What? That's what the enemy always wants to do, is distract us. Get our focus sidetracked. Word says, be diligent. Be sober. Amen? Be diligent, sober. Cast your cares upon the Lord. Make the exchanges so the burdens of this world are not affecting you. The cares of this world. Isn't that what says chokes the word of God? It chokes the truth. People get so involved in the cares of the world and self. We have to be careful in these. There are boundaries in everything. There's boundaries in the area of raising children. There's boundaries in marriages. There's boundaries in our jobs and our work. There are boundaries. And people go over these boundaries into the carnal arena and don't stay in the arena of the spirit. And when you're, let me tell you that, once you've hit that boundary, you're already bound. Boundary, over the boundary, you become bound. Amen? Then you're always trying to catch up. And God's trying to give you a seed of mustard seed, right? Little faith. That's all it takes. Little trust. Little dying to yourself. And a lot of prayer. You know, everything is shifting. We're in a big shift right now. So hold on. In this shift, in this turn, in the spirit realm, things are changing. They're changing rapidly. We don't have to figure it out. We just have to be caught up in the spirit. Things move so rapidly. You know, people are still trying to figure out what happened. Forget it. Just go. Let God lead you. Let God take you. Let the Spirit lead you. And let go of everything. Let it go. You know, we've always said that. Let go and let God. People try to. You can't do it in the flesh. You can only do it in the Spirit. Amen? Learn. Learn. Freedom is learn. And everything we do, we're always learning, aren't we? Stay hungry. Stay thirsty. Don't fall into compromise or complacency. Because then you'll fall into laziness. And you'll begin to drift. Begin to lose the things that God promised you. You begin to let things go. The things of the spirit realm. And you begin to grab things more of the physical realm. And that's when we get into danger zone. Amen? Remember, your storms will dictate your destiny and how you cooperate with them. It's a new beginning. Let's grow for it. Father, thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness in the areas of those things that we still hold on to. We commit them to you. We cast our cares upon you. We ask that the Holy Spirit continue to guide us and teach us, that we maintain the thirst and hunger, not only for your righteousness, but for the knowledge that is released from your throne room to us. Our expectations, Father, are from you, not from men. From you. Our fulfillment is from you, not from men. Let us so walk into the Spirit and into the realm where there is no time or space, but consistency of your love, your power, and your divine nature. In Jesus' name.